Welcome back to Real Tech Talk, episode number 40. Deuce, we're back in this studio with our beautiful green wall, so you better sit down, pay attention today.
That's why we're here, bro. This is Real Tech Talk, boom shakalaka. So who the hell are you, bro? You know, what are you into? What do you do? Yo, you can keep it real here. Tell me about these real estate players.
Eric Brody is the managing principal of CEMVC LLC. All opinions expressed by Eric and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of CEMVC LLC. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of CEMVC LLC may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
We are bringing you my homeboy Chris, and what makes this so different from the past is as follows. 2023. Venture capital dollars into prop tech is down 70%. Investment down. The exits that were supposed to happen didn't happen. And we learned a new business model that Christopher got on top of. And that's why he's here to talk to it. And we will get to that model. But first, let's introduce our guest, my man Chris. And I'm going to butcher this last name because that's what I do. My boy, Chris Grodenveld. Duh.
How you doing? Thank you so
Please
much.
First, we need the right pronunciation.
It's Groeneveld.
Groeneveld from the Dutch Groenevelds, am I right?
Yes.
From St. Martin.
Yes, thank you so much.
The fact that you think I knew that is just false. He told me about 30 seconds ago. Now, let's talk about this real fast. So what we saw, and this is like a macro thesis, and then I want to get into like where you came from, what you're about, and what you've done. Macro thesis was as follows. Technology companies were coming into this space. Yes. We're trying to sell their technology to multiple companies, right? And those companies were having a hard time understanding how this technology was going to increase their ROI and NOI. Yes. So all these tech guys didn't have domain expertise, and you get in how you know it. We're trying to sell to others. And what you did, which I find fascinating, is you were like, nah. That's not the correct business model. The business model, in order to expand to become a unicorn, is it should be proprietary to my company.
Yes.
Then let me prove to you in the future why you were behind the eight ball. So congrats to you.
Thank you so much.
And what you're doing. So tell us, how'd you get into real estate and technology? Why are you here today?
Ooh, it's a long story.
Well, we don't have that much time, so you better bring that shit down,
long story
bro.
Short.
Make a long story short.
So I got into real estate kind of by default when I was about 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually a student in art, and I decided to drop out because a couple things happened with the school.
In NYC?
And New York City. I moved to New York City with $200 in my pocket from Poughkeepsie, New York. I just stopped playing football, and I was like, you know what? I need to get the hell out of upstate New York. There's really no opportunity, and I need to just go figure something out. So
yep.
I had a duffel bag, and I had some money, and I left, and I decided to go to an art school. I was at the art school for maybe like a year.
Which one?
The Art Institute of New York City.
Okay.
It's now closed because it was like some crazy for-profit scam.
Don't worry. I went to a construction school that's closed down, so I hear you. You know, things change. Life changes.
Exactly. So as that process kind of went about, I got out of it, and then I didn't really know what to do. So I got into I kind of gave up art at that point because I was like, I'm not going to make any money in this, or at least I didn't think I was.
Can we do a full pause for a second about that, about art, and then we'll get into this. Do you know that as a result of the creator economy and like needing to do social media and to post and marketing and the rest of it, it's the art degree, or that you even had a propensity towards that, that will help you more, because that's the secret sauce today versus all the LLMs and AI taking out lawyers and cognitive labor. It's the creative that actually is coming back. So whatever, just go on.
You have to have that side. But what kind of happened is I decided to just jump into sales. I actually started B2B sales when I was about 20, 21 years old.
Tell me what they got you selling. What were you selling?
Paper, ink, toner, printers, copiers.
At least it wasn't that rock, you know? You weren't selling rock, you know? I'll sell the paper.
No. I mean, I could have for some extra money, but you know, some people probably would have bought it at that time. It was 2009. So it was a weird time because it was right as the economy was collapsing. So a lot of the businesses were doing fucking horrible.
Yeah, of course.
And you're trying to walk in and sell them something, and it's all commission, so you're not really making any money. Mm. But it really kind of put me in a position where I got to learn the mechanics of how to sell.
100%.
At that point in time, I was like, you know what? I want to try real estate. So I actually went on Craigslist. I went to some, you know, Craigslist job descriptions, and it said the first thing, for what I remember, it said, "Do you want to be your own boss?" And I was like, "Well, fuck yeah, I want to be my own boss."
Yeah, you do.
So I answered the ad, and it was for a real estate agent position up here in Upper East or like Midtown or something like that for a rental agent. So that's how I started.
You know what firm it was?
It was New York City Apartments. A gentleman called Jack Glass and Lorette Vigon. They were like the originators of the real estate brokerage world back in the 80s.
So now you're in the game. You're in the real estate game.
Yeah, I'm in the game, and I'm trying.
And you knew sales, right? So this isn't this background. I was playing with computers at 3.5 years old. This is the other side of the game. I like this.
I didn't even have a personal computer at home. I never had I didn't have a computer until I was in college. Honestly. I had a graphic design background because they gave us computers in school.
Gotcha.
But I did it in high school and mm-hmm. in college. Outside of that, yeah, I wasn't an Elon Musk making this, that, and a third at 8 years old.
Same here. Don't worry. I'm with you. I'm on the other side of this game.
Yeah. So at that point in time, I just kind of kept going through the business. I got into the banking world, did a little bit of the banking side. I was actually a personal bank for JP Morgan Chase. Mm-hmm. Then I went into mortgage. Then
So it's interesting. You did real estate sales, banking, which obviously you can give them all types of products. Yeah. And then you get into the mortgage. So now you're in the debt game.
Yeah.
Right? So you had a lot of domain expertise in that space.
And I wanted to do it primarily because I was curious. I was always curious about the business and the mechanics of the business and really all the different angles. You know, how could I serve people? Mm-hmm. You know? And also because if you went to a specific company, there was no particular place to learn at all. You kind of, if you went to this place or that place, you were pigeonholed into being a rental agent or a sales agent mm-hmm. or a commercial agent. So I really didn't get a full grasp of everything. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go out there and figure this out. And that curiosity led me down that path. So after that, you know, I remember I was driving one day in Long Island and I heard something on the radio and it was like, "Do you want to learn how to fix and flip houses?"
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I want to learn how to fix and flip houses. So then that opened up another door. So this was
is fascinating because I think the audience needs to understand. So fix and flip is somewhat of a development, right? And it's just on a smaller scale, which is acquire a home, and it could be a 2, 3, 4 family, right? Mm-hmm. Invest in renovation and then sell it, right? Yes. So it's still over a year process. You're still purchasing that asset. It's just that the total dollar value may be less. So maybe a $200,000 acquisition, $100,000 reno, and then flip it for $400,000 or $500,000, $500,000, right? Yep. But it's like inventory. You're trying to fix and flip.
And you're creating that inventory. Mm-hmm. Because from my standpoint at that point, I became a property finder.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
Oh, I understand now. Okay.
At the beginning.
You're like, you have to find, right? Everyone's like, oh, you should do fix and flip business. But the whole game is, how are you going to find those assets?
Exactly. Okay. So that's how I started because.
And what was that style? Because that's that old school style that we talk about that still works today. How did you find the assets?
So I went to an office in Crown Heights in a real estate office because in all the seminars I was going to, it was saying, oh, you got to find buyers. So I said, I don't know where to find buyers. And this was at a time where nobody was really on the internet like that. So I just popped into real estate offices and I'd be like, hey, is anybody a real estate investor here? So this one guy was like, yeah, come on in. I want to talk to you. So I talked to him. I was like, I got a couple deals. I went over the deals with him and then he was like, this fucking sucks. This sucks. I have this deal already. Where are you getting this garbage? And I was like, I don't know. I found it online. And he was like, that's not how you do this. He said, all right, come back tomorrow. I go back the next day, not there. I go back the next day, not there. Maybe like 2 weeks goes by. He's not there. I pop in. He's like, hey, I keep hearing you're coming back and forth. Looks like you really want to do this business. Let me show you some stuff. So then he starts showing me a little bit of the business, what I should be doing. He tells me, get out in the streets.
By the way, the debt you were fixing and flipping.
Yeah.
You were getting like high risk debt, right?
Yeah.
Which is like what is all the rage today.
Yeah.
Right? Like this high interest rate debt. So people just to understand like the risk you were taking to be into that game.
It was a lot.
Okay. So he's like, let me teach it to you. Boom. What did he teach
you? Exactly. So he taught me essentially how to talk to the homeowners, how to pull the information on all the public servers and whatnot, how to look at the information on the back end. That was
so the process at the time is get in contact with that human.
Yeah.
Right? And I guess that would be letters showing up. Obviously, you didn't have a problem showing up.
A lot of cold calling.
Cold calling. But you're saying there was a abyssal or a smidge or a smudge of information online for you.
Yes.
What was that? Where were we getting that data?
At that time, it's like HPD, DOB, Oasis.
So public websites. Public servers. The city of New York was starting to publish some of this information.
Yeah. This was kind of at the very beginning where they were starting to actually build that kind of like that network system.
Yeah, sure.
Because it didn't really exist prior, right? So he showed me a little bit of that. And then he didn't – the thing that was interesting about it is most of the investors that I began mm-hmm. to kind of get in touch with at that time also saw how curious I was and they didn't want to tell me everything.
Now, right? The investors, you're saying, was the capital required to purchase the asset. Right, to at least go into contract. No, that would be the investor?
Like the guy who was buying the properties from me at that time.
So
at that
time, you were using your own cash to basically tie up the property?
This was before. Mm-hmm. So before that process, before I got into that next wave, I was just a property finder.
Of course, sell it.
Yeah.
So make your commission. You need money in order to buy something. So yeah. I got you.
So I did that for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then I became, like, a lot of people knew me at that time. So I had a guy that was at an office who was a construction manager. Mm-hmm. And one day he said, hey, you're one of the best I know in the acquisition business. Do you want to partner together? So that's when the next phase of my life came into play, where we actually created an operation and then the software eventually became.
Okay. So now you're fixing and flipping. Yeah. Not only, so now you know acquisition, you know debt, you know construction, and then you know the basically how to exit that asset. Exactly. You're making money, you're trying to roll that capital,
yep.
right?
Yep.
You started to see a little smidgen of some technology, but basically it's just public websites. It's not telling you anything.
It's not telling you shit.
Right? So what need did you identify that got you into the tech space?
There was nothing. There was nothing that existed in the market at that time, because if you're in, you know.
But what was the workflow that you gave a shit about?
I'm running all operations at this point. So I'm training, I'm managing, I'm hiring, I'm reviewing properties, I'm doing legal, I'm looking over finance. Everything was compartmentalized. You know, you had something here, something here, something here, something there. And I'm like, I can't do this.
So saying not even like just a file folder system. Yeah. No one's sharing information.
I can't do it. Uh-huh. Because if you're trying to do it in volume, and we were working to do it in volume, we were trying to fix and flip at least like anywhere between 3 to 5 houses every month. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to do volume like that, it's almost nearly impossible to be able to take all that and put it in one ecosystem that's going to be functional for you. So I got together at that time. I was like, well, this sucks, because I'm trying to use this and I'm trying to use this and mm-hmm. I'm trying to use that. And my team is not really flowing. So from an operations standpoint, I'm like, I can't do this shit.
So the first was a cloud-based file management system. Yeah. Yeah. That everyone can see and hear. Yeah. So what did you use? Dropbox? Or Bluebeam? Or what was it?
At that time, we were using like Google Drive.
Okay.
It was someone else's product
at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were using Google Sheets and, you know, whatever I can get my hands on, whatever I could try to find through free trials at the time,
of course,
too.
Of course.
Because you're not going to just go spend $4.99 on some bullshit system when you don't even know if it's going to work or if it's Agreed. Practical. So I'm looking over trial periods. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. And we're at this point, we're now like 3 to 6 months in operation. And I'm like, I can't do this shit. Like, there's no way. You know, I think we had it like, that point, I think we had like 2 deals, and I'm like, we can't do this. Like, we're not running at the rate that we need to be.
And we're not scalable.
So I'm like, you know what? I got to figure something out. So at that point in time, I contacted my co-founder, Gregory Arbelava, mm-hmm. who is the CEO of Listening 3D. So I contact him, and I'm like, because he was a student over at BMCC. He did programming, front end, back end development, all that stuff. And he was a good friend of mine. Mm. So I said, hey, man, I got this thing that I'm doing with these acquisitions, and I need to figure out a way to build the CRM because I can't do this anymore. And he was like, all right, well, you know, think about your work processes.
Right, your workflows.
Your workflows.
Your case studies.
Exactly. And pull together some other products to see what you like and what you don't like, and start kind of like, you know, putting something together. And that's how it started. I didn't start trying to be this tech CEO guy building platforms and SaaS products. It was just
was strictly a necessity that needed to be solved. Instead of solving the world's problems, you're like, here's a workflow that I need help with. Is there an off-the-shelf product? And then what did he do? Is he tracing them together with APIs?
Man, it was a process. First he started looking at my processes and what I had to do with my
workflow. So it always was built around you and your necessity in the domain the expertise that you required and the tech that may be able to make you better.
Yeah. And then he's a genius. So like, then he would look at what he felt he could also implement. So it became a merge of just like the two of us together, understanding the tech world and me understanding the real estate world,
mm-hmm.
which I think became quite unique because you don't see that very often.
Not at all. Yeah. I mean, you're starting to see at some high level. What's so interesting about this story is it's that grassroots up, super right? Grassroots. It's not, you know, I came out of this specific unit or I was with MIT guys or Silicon Valley trying to solve. You were like, I'm piecing something together. So what was the culmination of that? What was then, and that's what awesome. Year did was that?
This was like 2015, 2016.
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
The company just started doing so much better because at that point in time, everything started to gel.
So what were the workflows that were being solved?
The biggest thing was acquisition. Right, because at that point in time, the acquisition agents that I was hiring and training now had a platform that they can go to, and everything was all in one.
So, give us a case study. So, what does that actually mean? You're not an acquisition guy. What would you actually need to be seeing?
So, property data, number one, property data.
So, some type of information that populates information about that property, which we've seen.
Yeah,
we have. Property sharks, and you have property scouts, and you've got Reonomy. So that wasn't anything new.
Yeah.
But at least you started to look at that. What else?
Homeowner information. Homeowner information, proprietary workflow systems for actual lead management, and then follow-up systemization, and also like back-end commenting protocols. So that I could see everything that they were doing and saying, and also a dialer too. We built a dialer at that time as well.
What's a dialer?
So you have different type of dialers. You have single line, double line, triple line. The dialer essentially is cloud-based, so it works directly. It's internet. It's an internet phone. But what was troublesome at that time is prior to, you're just having to pick up. Now, from a time perspective, if you're doing that, you're only making however many phone calls. I got it down to a science where people were making about 3 calls per minute.
Now, but that's, and then you only have to pick up if someone picked up.
Exactly.
Instead of dialing.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me that these are like, and I think this is what the future of a lot of prop tech technology needs to be, is it sounds to me that you just created efficiencies to that human. Yeah. You made them slightly more bionic than just being normal, right? Here's a dialer, so you make 3 calls, because literally just dialing is a waste of time.
It's a super
you made them
time.
A quarter point, a half a point better than what they initially were, right? And you also said there's these workflows. Some of it was yours, some of it was custom like a dialer, but it's like using these platforms and stringing them together.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the end result of that?
It kaboomed. I mean, we went from 1-2 deals to like 5, 7, 8, 10, next thing you know, between 2016 to 2019, we had done like 30 to 40 houses, single family, multifamily, add value construction. And you know the business, it's very competitive.
But let me ask you now. So now it sounds to me you solved for driving the deal flow. And it was proprietary to your company, but you weren't packaging yet. You weren't calling it anything. What about the underwriting of it? That was still a human?
Yeah. I mean,
it was still a stopgap is my point. You still needed a human in this space. It wasn't as if, forget about the human, it's a buy signal and the wire money's wired and it's a wrap. There were still spaces where the human was coming in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because because what was nice about it is I had the acquisition mind, mm-hmm. my construction partner had construction. So we built, stayed in our lanes, but you know, the two of us together, we were able to drive forward.
And it worked.
It worked.
So then what happened? 2019.
2019 happened. I actually decided to leave. I walked away from it. I'm mm-hmm. being honest. There are a couple things.
No, that lie to us here at Real Tech Talk.
You know, there are a couple things that happened that I was like, you know what? I'm a man of principles and I want to kind of go my way. So I tried to go out there on my own to mm-hmm. do my own fix and flipping and run my own business. I ended up at 30 years old in the hospital with a panic attack. So at that point,
is a whole other story that needs to be talked about more, which are the strategies to get through that, you know, but exactly. I hear you. We are in the real world here, people. This is not the fake world. You got to put up or shut up, you know, so I hear you.
So I decided to stay.
Because I pretty much have a panic attack daily. Okay. Just to keep it real with everyone here.
It's real. It happens.
It feels
like a heart attack and you're like, what the hell is going on? So that happened. And at that point I was actually like, I need to take a break because when I tell you I was sleeping at the office, I was sleeping on the conference table. I literally would fold up my jacket, put it down as a pillow, wake up, brush my teeth, get back to work, change my clothes. I'd be in the office, because if not, there were a couple nights I fell asleep on my way home driving.
Yeah.
Because our office was in Queens Village and I lived in Brooklyn. Mm. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not trying to die.
So you were going after it, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not trying to die. I'm just going to sleep at the office.
Yeah. Word up.
So that's what happened. And I was like, I got to take a break. So I took a little bit of a break. Then eventually I got asked to go to Indonesia for real estate, development, for like urban planning and whatever development. So I did that for like 4 months as a consultant, came back, COVID hits. And I'm like, all right, well, what the hell am I going to do next?
Yeah.
So at that point in time, I actually was like, I have all this time.
Right.
What do I want to do? And I actually started teaching myself UI UX.
So UI UX is just the user experience and the user interface.
Yeah.
Right?
Because okay. Because it's like I had been doing it unbeknownst to myself when we made that first product.
We had the graphic design background.
Yeah.
So then what was the culmination? So now let's go to, what is the company that you have now created?
Ari Unlocked.
And what is Ari Unlocked?
That's the CRM platform.
But it's not. You say CRM and we all say customer relationship management. But you've now spoken about 10 things that have nothing to do with that. That is a pinpoint, very specific, like, solution, which is when you have a customer, we can put them into a CRM and have communication with them. But it's so much more than that.
It's a lot more.
So let's start from the top. So what is it all the way through, which is Ari Unlocked?
I'd say it's the first, like, all-in-one solution for the entire real estate industry, across from real estate agents, real estate wholesalers, real estate investors.
In this mid-market size?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does it do? What's the workflow that it solves?
It has the ability to really compartmentalize everything that everybody has to go out and do. Because even with it being 2024.
Yeah, don't date us. Yeah. It's 2024, sorry, people.
You still have the situation where you have all these other products. You know, you have the Podios, you have the Prop Streams, you have the Property Sharks, but they only ever solve one thing.
Agreed.
And it's usually data. They never really have everything that's on.
Or what do we call it? Business intelligence, right? Here's your data set.
Yeah.
How are you getting, like, everyone wants to know, because you're a domain expert. You're like, yo, just because you tell me about something, data about an asset means nothing. I need to be able to reach out, speak to, execute on that. And that's still a human process.
Yeah. You still have, like what you were saying before, like, you still have to pair the human with the tech, because even with AI exploding right now, human beings still need to be able to do their workflow and work in a functional system that makes sense.
Of course.
And across the industry, I've just seen stuff that doesn't make sense. So the product in of itself actually makes sense. The way that the workflows work, it's got the file management aspect, it's got the list building functions, it's got the script tracing functions, it's got telemarketing with dialer systems. We have AI in it now as well. There's a ton of stuff in
the
product.
And what I think is just so fascinating and what's so relevant is it isn't high, deep tech. It's not, I have created this new way of creating a wheel. It's specifically, we can connect these workflows into reducing the amount of time or requirement for the human to interact, but they still need to be there. But if I just made that human 3%, 4% better, then they should disrupt that market and being more effective. Yeah. Exactly. Just being more effective. Yeah. So who is your first customer today?
Real estate agents, you know, we've been testing it. Right now, we're in beta testing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I like. You know, I'm bringing that new hotness that you don't know about, people, to the studio.
Exactly. Right now, we're in beta testing. Uh-huh. But the good thing is that I've had the opportunity to test this for several years, because with the initial software, we always had to upgrade it. Mm-hmm. So it was like version 1, version 2, version 3.
Of course.
So I've always had an opportunity for people to really go into the system and to utilize it and see exactly what needs to happen and how it needs to really.
So now that you tested it and you were an agent, how much better do you think that you are, like, in a percentage point? It's totally arbitrary, but I'm just curious. Like, if you're a normal agent just starting out or you have a network, how much more efficiency do you think you see in your day?
A fucking ton more. You know, just because, like.
But let's give an example. And I have one, right? Like, imagine you meet 10 people, 15 people, you write one email, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and nothing to do with, and I think what's fascinating is, like you're saying, is like, it's actually helping you identify the target,
yeah,
right? So first is like, everyone says when you get into the real estate business, it's about your network. And you're like, nah, fuck that. It's not my network. I'm going to create that network because, like you said, you came from Poughkeepsie with $200. You had no network.
Yeah,
and yet you were making deals happen, right?
Yeah. So I would identify that one of the main tools, and this is what the real estate industry is particularly missing, is prospecting.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, if you're going to be real estate, whatever you are, you need to prospect. You have to go out there and do the work. Even if you have, like what you're saying, even if you have somewhat of a network, you still got to go out there and you still got to put boots on ground.
And reinforce your message. Like, you might have met them once, hi, Miss Whomever or Mr., you know, we're into, you know, can I get your email, whatever it is about their asset, but you don't know if they're ready to make that decision then, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know their prediction of what their future will be, although their software on predictive analytics.
Yeah.
And you're like, look, that's a joke. Don't get me wrong. Right. There's all these things trying and the rest of it. But you're like, here's something that we know will work. We can put you in the CRM. We can now keep hitting you with that messaging so that the moment that you decide, you're thinking of you.
Yeah.
So it's not overnight. There's no such thing.
Especially if you can train the users too. Because what I've done, which I think is unique, is because of my experiences throughout the industry, I have a decent wheelhouse of what needs to happen within that rapport building aspect, right? So from a rapport building perspective, the most agents have a decent skill set of it because a lot of them come from either sales or they come from, you know, maybe they were a bartender, maybe they were an actor, something like that. So they have that personable skill set, but there's a couple things that maybe they're missing. So for me, that's what I will also want to include and work on to make sure that, yes, you have this product, but you need to also be slightly trained to be able to go into the product and really take it to that next level, like that.
Yeah, and that tenacity that you had, right? You could digitize tenacity.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, nice to see you, you know, over and over, constantly communicating with them over and over so that you're there for that moment.
Yeah.
And I also think what's really relevant is that, you know, it's not replacing what the human does. It's just enhancing it.
Yeah.
Right. So what is your goal now? So you're beta testing it today. Is that for you to have your own brokerage and have your own army of agents using it to prove that, obviously, and then to sell? Or is it, I want to now give specific agents? Or the third option is, are you trying to sell it to a larger agency and then you're out?
I think the first angle is in-house. Right. So I think the first angle is in-house. That way we can really kind of test it out and make sure that the product is what it's supposed to be.
Word.
For the audience. And then.
And that's also what real estate is such a problem is, like, what's the ROI? Like, how do I know it works?
Yeah.
And for you, it's straight up. It's like, check my revenue.
Yeah.
Right. Like, just look at the bottom line. This is Machiavellian. Did we do it or didn't we do it? Check the bottom line.
Because at that point in time, you know, everything's market share. So if you're able to utilize the technology to kind of take over that market share, because I mean, if you look at the Compasses, X, Y, and Z, they come in, you know, they buy market share.
Correct.
But I think if you can arm these people, these agents, these professionals out there in the world, now all of a sudden they have a real tool.
Sure. Like, the end goal is like, am I the fourth largest brokerage? By the way, if you were like the 44th largest brokerage, then it worked. Like, you killed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well. Like, I mean, there's certain economics. They just have so much money. Eventually they could just buy you. But it's like, if you went from zero to that, then it was a huge success.
Exactly. And then you could take it to the next level. Right?
What's the next level?
I think eventually we do a subscription base. Because
powered by, right?
Like
you're seeing some of these models where it's like, no, we'll give you that infrastructure and you don't need to work for one of those firms to give away that fee. It's like the dollar value of what those firms are providing for you back in the day were huge, but it seems to be less and less because it's about the tenacity of the human.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you raising today?
We are not right now. For the most part, we've bootstrapped this thing. We've been building it out ourselves because we have front end and back end developers.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Gregory is at the forefront of it. I think he's a freaking genius in
space. Yeah, I met him the other day. Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we haven't, but when the time comes, you know, we're totally open to it, you know, first seed round.
So what are the goals for 2024?
Get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
you know, 100% get it out there, make it known. Because for me, it's like I feel like I've been the Wizard of Oz of the real estate space.
Yeah, of course.
It's like I've been behind the scenes pulling the levers, and now I'm in a position where I'm like, all right, this thing's fully loaded, and it's time to drop a bomb.
So I mean, I completely agree. So when should we start checking it out? Like, when do you think your beta is going to drop?
Within the next quarter.
Because for me, I agree with the thesis. I really do. We even have created our own proprietary software that we use in the debt equity space.
Very cool.
And we look at the same thesis that you said, and we even met with Gregory and had the same discussion. Like, we're in such a laggard space. We interviewed other debt equity guys and we're like, that's fascinating. You're giving away half your commission and there's not one thing that's assisting the workflow. It was very much, oh, it's they give me the office and the overhead. And you're like, interesting, because if that paradigm is changing the fix and flip residential space, what's to change in the capital market space?
Exactly.
You know? So, and I also agree that I watched a lot of companies in 2023 selling to others as a SaaS platform. And hard to prove that you're making them more money.
Yeah.
So like, what did you and I learn? Do it in-house. And by the time they figure it out, it'll be too late.
Too late.
Right? Or it fails in-house. You're like, well, I didn't raise this money and then just piss it away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now, you're an entrepreneur, right? Through and through. Yeah. Right? Like, there's no doubt about it. So much so, it got you sick. What motivates you? Why?
Oh, man. I'm going to be real for a second.
No, again, and be unreal fake, talk. Bro. You know, this is real tech talk, son.
So I came from nothing. When I was a kid, I actually was in welfare shelters.
Yeah.
And
so the shelter meaning you didn't have your parents.
So my mother.
Yeah.
You know, but we were not well off.
I got
all,
you know? I understand.
And we had situations where I can remember being pushed around town in like shopping carts and stuff, and I knew that there was something wrong about it. I knew that that's not what I was going to be and that's what I wanted, and that has always kind of stuck with me, and it's always pushed me. So I've always fought for what I wanted,
which is amazing, right? And not that you need that kind of motivation to fucking be successful, but you know, I hear you. But that doesn't mean you'd be an entrepreneur. You could have gotten a job.
Yeah.
So instead of, in addition to, I get it, by the way, I put you up against anybody. Like, I know that at the end of the day, based on that pain and how you use that, like, yeah, you'll outlast them. But why entrepreneur?
So, I mean, growing up, I always had that creative energy, like core. And I knew that I never really, I remember like when I would work at different companies, I'd get fired or whatever would happen. And I'd be like, what the hell? Like, I don't understand. I didn't want that.
I like, you're like, you know, I'd get fired, you know, maybe you got an authority problem, bro.
Possibly. But I really didn't understand. I'd be like, I don't understand what the hell's going on. Like, why is this happening? So at that point in time, I'm like, you know what? I can't fire myself. So I might as well figure this shit out.
No, I like that. So it wasn't a question of like, oh, I had the entrepreneurial spirit. It's like, you know what? If I'm getting fired everywhere, the one person who can't fire me is me, you know? All right. So I got some rapid fire questions for you. All right. Where do you hope to see the industry in prop tech in 10 years?
Oh, man. That's a great question.
Robot agents? How are you, sir?
I definitely hope to see it. I hope to see it evolve into more of a service-driven model, because I think what's happening amongst all industries is there's just such a lack of service. So I hope
as a differentiator, right?
Yeah. I the customer at the end of the day, they're the main focal point.
And they're human still.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's never going to change.
Yeah.
The relationship side of it is never going to change. And if you understand that part of it, you can be very successful.
Right. And it's not disparate. People are like, it's a relationship business. Tech will never last. And you're like, no. It 100% is a relationship business, but how can we bring it closer, faster, and circumvent some of the wasted time in creating that relationship,
right?
And make
it way more effective.
AI, friend or foe?
Friend.
How come?
I mean, I've been utilizing it for the last year and change, and the amount of stuff, because when you're a startup company, you know, like there's only so much that you can do as far as X, Y, and Z. So the AI component, that as far as like how I've been utilizing it, It's completely speeding up the process of creation.
I feel like it's like a no-brainer. Like, you could ask ChatGPT, how do I program
everything
XYZ? And it literally give you the programming language,
the
right? You're like, here's the code to do it. And you're like, what the fuck? And then you've got everyone else who's like, oh, I don't want to. Just download it, start playing with it for the random shit that you have to deal with. Yeah. Help me with this email, this text. Like, it's like crazy to not be experimenting it with daily.
And also just your work too. Like, I've been using ChatGPT to create quarterly plans for me. You know, break it down by month, break it down by week, break it down by day. Give me tasks, give me milestones, give me goals.
I love it. Last question. Let's talk real estate. What do you think is going to happen to the real estate industry in 2024? Now, it could be specifically New York because that's where you're playing. It could be nationwide. But what do you think happens in 2024?
2024, I think, is actually going to be a decent year due to the rates. I think the rates are going to start to drop because I don't think that they can continue to allow them to jump the way that they've been jumping. And 2022 to 2023 was that period of time where you saw the lapse of
I mean, transactions are down like crazy. So you think transactions will be up?
I think transactions will be up. I think that most sellers are sitting on the sideline because they have to recoup their equity. Some of these
But what are they going to do? They're now rates are up. Like, your equity's out.
If with the rates being up, even at, you know, 7-8%, if it can get to 6%, it's at that point in time, it's still doable where if they have some equity, now they can go buy somewhere else, right? Because if they're selling, let's say, in New York.
No, I know what you mean. They're stuck. I got you.
Absolutely.
I mean, my thesis is it's all like a human game. Mm. And now your mind got used to it. And either you know you're fucked and you got to make a move, right? Yeah. But it's not like pretend and extend. Like, here's your reality. They're not coming down enough to make a substantial difference. Like, what are you going to do? At least now you know the playing field.
Yeah.
And it was like the uncertainty. Everyone froze up.
Yeah.
So now you might sell, you might buy, but it's like, all right, we get it. Rates are up.
I know there's going to be a shit ton of foreclosures. That's for sure. And they've gone up like 7.7%.
So we're getting back into that fix and flip?
Yeah. 35,000 people in pre-foreclosure.
Damn, son. Well, listen, I appreciate you. You were extremely unique compared because, you know, here we usually come in top down. I love that bottom-upness because that's where we're from. All right. Thank you for coming through. You got it.
Awesome.
Real Tech Talk episode 42. You sat down with my boy David, and what he's actually doing is recreating this thesis, which I think is fascinating, which is stop trying to sell to the rest of the world if you haven't proven to yourself that the technology actually works, which is where that grassroots philosophy comes from that most real estate people are adept to. It's not how do you raise $5 million you've never done it before to prove a technology, and then all of a sudden you wind up that it's not there. That is not the real estate way. He's taking that real estate philosophy of making sure you prove that thesis and bringing it to the tech space. In addition, he's not creating some deep tech changing the game. It's super simple. Can you create a few technologies, but then piece them together for a workflow that will create efficiency? I'm excited for what he's doing. And to me, I think, and we're going to know, that it actually works. And I would be interested when he's scaling in order to invest in that, because it's these types of things that can really go big. So stay up. Watch out for my boy. It's Real Tech Talk episode 42. Peace.